want to turn to Luke's gospel with me now. We'll read Luke's account of the same occurrence in Jesus' life. It's in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28. The triumphal entry. After Jesus had said this, verse 28, Luke 19. After Jesus had said this, he went ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethany, Bethpage in Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' And those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the Mount of Olives goes down, the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Praise the Lord. You know, I remember years ago preaching a message about the colt, the donkey. It had never been ridden before. I'm not a great expert in horses and animals in general, but I know that you don't just get on a colt or a donkey or a horse or any kind of a beast of burden that has never been broken in. It can take weeks, can't it? I remember one of my nieces had I don't know whether it was a horse or a donkey or something, and they tried to break this animal and tried to ride it, and it would not. It just would not. They ended up selling it. And you know, that donkey, that colt, had a choice to make that day when it was untied from that post and was led into the presence of the King of Kings. It had a choice to make. What do I do now? Because it felt very alien, very strange when the disciples started laying a coat across its back, and it's thinking, what's going on here? What's happening? This has never happened to me before. And then it feels the weight of a man climbing upon its back. And its natural inclination would have been to have kicked and to have jumped and to have tried to throw that weight, that man, off its back. But it didn't. It didn't, did it? It made a choice that day, and its choice was to carry the burden who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to carry him triumphantly into Jerusalem to fulfill what the prophets had spoken hundreds of years before that would happen. And we are faced with the same choice when it comes to the claims of Christ on our lives. We have the same choice to make, don't we? Every day, because to follow the Lord is a burden. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," but there's still a yoke and there's still a burden. Amen? And we have the choice every day to make. What are we going to do with the yoke, with the burden of the Lord, with the things that God asks of us? What are we going to do? We make a choice. And our choice means surrender. Yes, I'm willing to carry. I'm willing to carry my cross. I'm willing to follow Christ. No matter what it takes, I'm willing to go with him. See, that donkey was quite remarkable that day. Quite remarkable. In its own animal brain, it realized that it was fulfilling destiny somehow, that this was the Lord of Lords, this was its creator riding on its back. And despite all that went on around it, all the singing, all the shouting, the things that were being thrown in the road in front of it, it never flinched. Absolutely remarkable, that. It never flinched. It just carried on, plodding along there with Jesus on its back. And that's what the attitude we need to have, despite whatever the enemy throws at us, despite whatever comes our way, despite whatever we meet this week, we just keep on keeping on for Jesus. It's a choice that we have to make, isn't it? A choice that we make every day. Jesus needed this cult. He didn't need it in one sense. He could have walked. But he needed the cult to fulfill the prophecies. Jesus came to fulfill everything that was written about him in the law and the prophets. And the prophets had said, behold your king riding into Jerusalem, riding a colt, the foal of an ass. And Jesus said, I'll do whatever Father has said I must do. You see, as the colt was obedient to Jesus, so Jesus was obedient to the will of his Father, to those things that had been written about him so many years before. The crowd shouted out in their praise. And as they did so, they were fulfilling prophecy. If you keep your finger there in Luke, and you turn into Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 26. And we see there those words are recorded by the psalmist. Let's read from verse 22. The stone the builders rejected. See, this is Messianic prophecy. This is talking about the Lord Jesus. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He was Lord in the Old Testament. He was Lord before creation ever was. The Bible says he's always been there. He's eternal. As creation was made, he was right there with God the Father. The Bible says through him, everything that was made, without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus was right there at the beginning of time with God the Father. He was Lord then, and he's Lord today. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and then Philippians. Philippians 2 is a wonderful passage of scripture here, talking about our attitude and Christ's humility. We'll read from verse 5. Philippians 2 and 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, okay, holy God, completely God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Amen. We didn't make him nothing. The Romans didn't nail him to that cross. Pilate didn't condemn him to death. He could have called 10,000 angels to have delivered him at any moment, but he himself made himself nothing. King of kings and Lord of lords, who made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. You know, even in his human state, when Jesus had left eternity, left his father, been born in that manger of Mary and grown up as that young lad and became that young man in ministry walking the shores of Galilee and Jerusalem. Even in his human form, Jesus would have only had to utter a word and he would have defeated all his foes. Remember that time, the Bible says, and he was in the temple, not the temple, he was in the synagogue. And he read the words of Isaiah, took the scroll, the deaf ear, the lame, leap. Amen. Said to those in the hearing, he said, today all this has been fulfilled in your hearing. They took him. The Bible says they took him towards the edge of a cliff. They were going to throw him over. They were so incensed that he claimed to be the one that Isaiah was writing about. And the Bible says he just walked through the middle of them. They couldn't touch him. They couldn't touch him. The power of God was so strong upon him, they couldn't touch him. He just walked through the crowd and went on his way. Even in his human state, Jesus could have overcome all those soldiers that came against him. At his lowest point, what is he found doing? Healing the ear of the high priest's servant who Peter had cut off with a sword. The power never ever left him. You see, he humbled himself. I've got that underlined here in my Bible. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on a cross. The most horrible, shameful, painful method of execution that's ever been known to man. Therefore, God exalted him. Praise the Lord. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but he exalts the humble. God's economy is the opposite of ours. Somehow in this world, the proud get exalted and the humble get trampled. But in God's economy, the proud are pulled down and the humble are exalted. The humble are made high. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Where did he exalt him to? The highest place. That's very powerful, isn't it? When we stop and think about that. The highest place. There is no one and nothing higher than Jesus. The highest place. In another place, Jesus said, all power and all authority has been given to me. Amen. The highest place. There is no one and nothing in this universe or in the heavenly spiritual realms that we can't see that is higher than Jesus. Because he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on a cross, God has exalted him to the highest place. There is none higher than the Lord Jesus. And gave him the name that is above every name. Praise the Lord. So there is no name given that is higher than the name of Jesus. No authority that is higher than the name of Jesus. He's higher than Obama. He's higher than the Queen. Amen. He's higher than any world leader that we could think about today. His name is higher. Jesus, the name that it is above every name. Amen. His name is the highest. The highest authority in the universe today is the name of Jesus. And as a result of that, we come to verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. What does that mean? Well, that's the Jewish way of saying in the spiritual, the heavenlies, in the physical, the earthly that we live in, and under the earth signifies those who have died out of faith. Amen. The Jews had the idea that somehow the abode of the dead was under the earth. I don't understand that properly. I don't pretend to do. There are some things in the scripture that we just have to read and say amen. That's one of them. But somewhere the Bible says there's an abode of the dead. Hades, the Bible calls it. It's the place where the souls are waiting for the day of judgment. Those that have died outside of faith. And there is no other name in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, higher than the name of Jesus, and one day every knee will bow to him. It won't be optional. You see, that's why it's so important, and that's why it's so good that we can sing and we can praise the way we do now, and we bow our knees, don't we? Sometimes we do it physically. Next week, Christine and I will have sore knees, because in Romanian churches, when they pray, they get down on their knees and they pray. Sometimes it's 20 minutes. Sometimes it's half an hour. And when you get up, you feel like you're never going to walk again. Amen. In our church, we don't necessarily do that. But we do bow, don't we? We bow. We say, He is King of Kings. Hosanna to the highest this morning. We gladly bow the knee. We sing that song, don't we? I gladly bow my knee. And it's so important that we do so now. It's so important that we recognize His Lordship now. It's so important that we realize who He is now. Because one day we'll have no problem bowing the knee. We'll just joyfully and with great rejoicing bow before Him on that day in heaven and say, Jesus, my Lord and my King. My Saviour, my Jesus, my Saviour. Lord, there is none like you. And having done it here on earth, we won't have to be forced in heaven. So every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Again, it won't be optional. On that day of judgment, the Bible says, every man will have to confess him. They'll have no choice. They'll be in his presence. They'll be under his judgment, under his authority. Every tongue will confess. The Richard Dawkins of this world, the atheists, those of who proclaim other prophets and other religions, they will all bow and acknowledge Jesus Christ is the highest. Jesus, His name is above every name. He is who He claimed to be. He is the Jewish Messiah. He is our Lord and our Savior. Every tongue will confess. King of kings and Lord of lords. You see, we acknowledge Jesus is Lord now by bowing in spirit to Him as King. Now that means we live in obedience to Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now I'm just going to read you something here. I read this the other day and I thought, wow. It's talking about a man. A man who claimed to be a Christian. A man who would even go to church on occasions and sing the songs and Maybe even said the odd amen. But this man lived a life that was anything but Christian. He was a man who used drugs, and he lived in an immoral relationship. Well, that's okay. It's okay to come into church like that. Amen? We used to sing that song so many years ago, Billy Graham and the big missions and everything, just as I am without one plea. It's fine to come to church like that. Amen? Everybody's welcome. Jesus said, come unto me. That woman that was brought in adultery, that was thrown before him, caught in the very act. Did Jesus run away from her? Did he command that she should be cast out? No. What did he do? He forgave her. But he also said, go and sin no more. Go, don't do it again. Don't live that way. And the story is of this man, and it's a true story, the man who was taking drugs and living in a relationship that he shouldn't had. And one day the pastor had to talk to him about it. It's not easy to do that for those in leadership. And one day the pastor confronted him and said, look, son, you cannot continue to claim to be a Christian and to live the way you're living, because there has to be fruit for repentance, the Bible says. There has to be change. If Jesus is Lord, then things are going to be different in your life. Yes, it can take time. Yes, there's a process. Things don't drop off overnight. But the closer we get to the Lord, the more we go on in our faith, the more these things should be dropping away from us. Amen. And the pastor said, come on. You've been in the Lord now for some months, even years. It's time that you change these things in your life. And the man just replied, don't worry, pastor. It's okay. I'm just a bad Christian. Well, there's no such thing as a bad Christian. Amen. You see, it's not okay. It's not okay. Not at all okay. It's not okay for someone who claims to be a follower of Christ. Just turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Such an important verse. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You see, that's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? If he's Lord, we do what he says. If he's not, we're still in control. Amen? If we have bowed the knee and said, he is my Lord, he is my King, he's in control of my life, he's my Savior, he's my destiny. As the old song used to say, he is my everything, he is my all. And if he's Lord, then things will change. If he's not, things will stay the same. You see, his claim over us is absolute. And he goes on to tell the story there of the wise and the foolish builders. See, they were both building, but it was a different foundation. They both hit the same storms. But the man whose life was surrendered to Christ and was built on the rock of his word, obedience to his word, if you love me, keep my commandments. For that man, he survived. Amen? His house survived. For the other man, his house collapsed, and the Bible says, great was the collapse of it. Or as it says there in the Authorized Bible, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. And it's such a warning to us all. You see, he's the highest. His name is above every name. He's been exalted to the highest place. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He humbled himself for us. He requires we do the same for him. So today, for each one of us this morning, let's make sure that we're honouring him with our deeds as well as with our words. And then we can really sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus is Lord.